God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians. Praise God. What I've got tonight is, the title is Proven Kingdom Principles. I don't have a single new thing for you. Nothing tonight is new. But everything tonight is good for you. Amen. Amen. In fact, I've taught this lesson one time in the storefront in New London. And I've taught this lesson one previous time here in this church. But it's been some number of years ago. Good stuff is what we need to hear. Amen. From the Word of God. Amen. Kingdom, or proven kingdom principles. Amen. Would you stand for just a reading of, I've got five, six, seven, three verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning to read at verse 5 down to verse number 8. It says this. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Amen. Amen. I want to talk tonight, read some scriptures, make a few comments on those scriptures. Just let the Word of God touch our lives. Amen. Would you pray with me about proven kingdom principles? Lord, I love you, Jesus. I ask even now in the name that is above every name, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that as I read these scriptures, I pray that your anointing, Lord, would be upon us, Lord, to receive them. Lord, let your anointing, God, to be upon me, Lord, to speak of them. Lord, let our hearts, Lord, receive what it is that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ would have us to receive and to have tonight in this Bible study. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. The opening text started out with, examine yourselves. You know, in our walk with God, I would say the primary responsibility is upon ourselves. Amen. Yes, the preacher has a responsibility to preach the truth. I've got to preach what it is that is in the Word of God. And every preacher has that same responsibility. Every teacher has a responsibility to teach that which is in the Word of God, not to change it so that it has a different meaning, but to present it just as it is, and that it would be applied to our lives. Amen. So this opening text, examine yourselves, is what I'm asking tonight for us, for me, for you, for we, the people in the kingdom of God, to examine ourselves, measure ourselves, look at ourselves through the Word of God. Amen. Continuing in Scripture, Hebrews chapter 12, beginning there with verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 had a whole bunch of people that were full of faith and did great exploits for God, and they did wonderful things by God's hand in His will. Now, immediately, verse number 12, right after that chapter, right after the chapter of faith, it talks about this cloud of witnesses. And then it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Pause right there. Different people have different problems. Amen. But it doesn't matter what your problem is. We got to lay our problem aside so that we might live for God. Amen. Some people have problem with, hope you could fill in the blank. The list is too big to go over tonight. People have problems with all kinds of stuff. But lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let me also mention this. Many times, people will be tripped up by the devil by the very same thing over and over and over again. Over and over and over. The very same thing trips them up. Praise the Lord. Let me continue reading. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Pause. The cross, up until Jesus Christ, it was a sign of shame and death, and only the worst criminals, the ones that were against the government, the ones that were against authority, the ones that were robbers and stealers and killers and murderers and those that did heinous crimes, their judgment, their fate was to be on the cross. Not good people, bad people. That was the history of the cross. And then Jesus Christ came and willingly laid down his life in such a manner that it brought him to the cross. Amen. Wow. Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Jesus overcame. I tell you what, because he overcame, we can become overcomers. Amen. You can do that which is impossible in the flesh, but in the spirit, it is possible. I like to use the example of, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous claims to be a very successful and enduring program for people to get off of alcohol. And 97% of the people that go through Alcoholics Anonymous go back to drinking. A 3% success rate. And that's good. Wow. I'll tell you what. The King, if you'll get Jesus. If you will get a hold of Jesus, amen, you can beat that problem. Amen. And not just 3%. I'm talking 100%. Everybody that chooses to hold on to Jesus and his ways will get the victory. Amen. Not maybe or might or some. All of them. Praise the Lord. Another scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 38 and 39. And Saul armed David with his armor. You see, there was a giant down in the valley that came out every day, and he said bad things against the king and against the army and against the nation and against their God. David came, and he's standing before Saul, and Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head also, and he armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. You know, there's a lesson here to be learned. The human or natural thing is that we would do like everybody else does. If you're going to go out and fight a battle, you put a helmet on, you put the coat of mail on, you shod your feet and your loins, and you get a sword and put that on your side, and you have a spear, and you go out there and you partake in battle armed for battle. That's the human thinking. The king was thinking like a human, and he tried to get David to fight the giant in his human strength. We are in a spiritual battle. There are so many humanistic ways that is going to try to tell you to make your life better, you gotta. And they're lying to you. They're lying to you. They will lie to young people and tell them that you're messed up because you're the wrong sex. No, God did not make any mistakes. He made you the way you are on purpose. It is not a mistake. If you will embrace God's ways, God will bless your life. Amen. David had some experiences with God. He was out there in the field, and he was put in charge of watching the sheep. A lone shepherd, a boy watching a herd of sheep, but to him it was a big responsibility. It was something serious that he had in his hand, that it was his responsibility to make sure that those sheep were safe. Did you know that even when you're serving God, and even when your family serves God, and even when you're in the right part of the right nation, and you're part of the people of God, and things still happen. You know, a lion or a bear, bad things come. God's hand was on that young man, so that he was able to defend those sheep and slay the beast, the lion, the bear. You know, a young man normally wouldn't tangle with a lion or a bear. A grown man with good sense wouldn't do it either. But I tell you what, he had the anointing of God with him, upon him, and God protected him. He slew those animals. And you know what? He gave credit to God. God protected me. God protected that which is under my hand. God protected my everything. And when David was in the new situation, and now he's not facing a lion, he's not facing a bear, he's not facing a wild animal, he's facing a human threat, the giant Goliath. Carnal thinking, the king thought, arm him for battle. You know what? You don't have to fight like the world does. You fight your spiritual battle the way God leads you, with the word of God and with faith in God. And you know, we don't do the same thing as the world. God wants to deliver you, and he will, he can, he's able to deliver you. See, spiritual laws, precepts, principles of the Word of God, they are immutable. Now, that's a word that's not used very often anymore, but it's unchangeable. It is indisputable. You look at the record. You look in the Word. You can look in history. I tell you, you can look at the families in this church. Amen. You can look at my family, and it's true. God's laws are higher than man's laws. They are unchangeable, just like natural laws are unchangeable. The laws of the universe are placed there by God. You cannot change them. You do not, in your human ability, have the authority to change God's laws. You can't change them. It's not in your power. You can't change the law of gravity. I think I'd like to paint that spot and just float up there and paint it. No, you better get a tall ladder. You're going to reach up there. Some scaffolding, right, Brother Gomez? Something. You can't change the laws. You may try to break the law, but ultimately, you will be the one that is broken by the law. The law doesn't change. Law of God. In transitional times, sometimes we are moving from one place into another place. We may be living outside of the kingdom of God and moving into the kingdom of God. That's a transitional time. You may be moving from just a little bit of God into more of God. That's a transitional time. You may be moving from one place in ministry that God is now moving you to another place in ministry, and that is a transitional time. But in those transitional times, we need to have a renewed faith, a conviction that the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. And that regardless, it doesn't matter that a public opinion, it remains, the Bible remains the textbook for successful living. The Bible shows us how to live. Amen. Serving God is a win-win situation. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Praise the Lord. You know, I've been walking with God, doing my best to live for God now for quite a few years. I left a life of sin in 1983. I ain't looking back. I don't ever want to go back to that time before Jesus Christ. I have no interest in living like that ungodly life again. I have learned by experience that living for God is the best life for me. Amen. I am better off when I live for God. Praise the Lord. And you can be content in God in whatever place that you are in God. Amen. I've had times where I didn't hardly have two extra nickels to rub together. But you know what? God blessed me. And I was happy living for God. It wasn't the money that makes you happy. You could have a lot of money and be miserable. Or you could have just enough and be happy living for God. Amen. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Let me continue in scripture. You got to make up your mind. Here it is. For me to live is Christ. Philippians 1:21. See that? You got to make up your mind. Man, right. For me to live is Christ. Man. You got to make up your mind. If I'm still breathing, if I'm still taking in air, I'm going to live for God. Amen. Now get this. And to die is gain. If you read the back of the book, we win. Amen. It's awesome stuff. My life is not centered upon the things of the flesh in this world. Amen. You can live for Jesus Christ and set your sights higher than this world. Amen. Putting God first will never make you last or least. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, more scripture, verse 32 and 33 of Matthew 6. Amen. For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. You know what? Pause just a moment again. You're going to get a bunch of pauses tonight. God knows that you need a roof over your head. God knows that you need food for your table. God knows every need you have. Amen. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And then it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God in his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. It is a proven kingdom principle that when you seek God first, he meets your need. Amen. Praise the Lord. Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8. It said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Praise the Lord. If you will seek God first and love his word, amen. You know, to love his word, you got to know it. Amen. I hope you spend some time in his word. It's powerful, sharp. Amen. And it is the instruction on how to live. Amen. It shall make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. You want to know how to get a promotion on your job? Live like it says in the Word of God. Amen. Don't cheat your employer. Work as unto the Lord. Be honest in all of your dealings. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Here's another area. Just a moment. Proper parenting in the church and in your Christian home, it assures the continuation of a Christian heritage. Amen. I think having babies is a great way to increase the kingdom of God. Amen. My wife and I did our share. We had four. Amen. And those kids had kids, and now that they're in the church, and it's growing the kingdom of God. However, be it slowly, over some years, but yet, I'll tell you what, there's nothing like it. There's nothing more rewarding. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 22. Verses 4 to 6. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I was raised on a pew in a church, well, several times a week. Sunday morning, Sunday night, midweek service, revival services, camp meetings, revivals, you name it. If the door at the church house was open, it was time to go to church. Amen. It taught me something. The consistency of just the expectation that we were going to church when the church house was open. And sometimes my mom had a key. We'd go there when nobody else was there. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's just how life as a church kid is. Amen. But you know what? It puts something inside of me so deep, so strong, so powerful, that the world couldn't take it out. Drugs and alcohol and ungodliness, worldliness. There was a season in my life that I lost out with God. I backslid. But for, you know what? I couldn't get away from it. It never left me. I knew who God was. And many times I remember thinking to myself, and I did not look like a Christian. My wife gives me the funny eye and shakes her head. She remembers what I looked like. Bushy, long, black hair. I could reach my hair, but man, it was long. Mustache, goatee. I was a big boy. You know, I was used to have muscles back then. The world cannot take out of a man what he learned about God when he was a boy. I'm telling you that from experience. If you will teach your boy about God, he will become a godly man. Now, I've never been a woman, and I don't ever try to plan to be one. But it's the same rule for females. What God puts in a girl when she's just young will be with her all of the days of her life. Amen. It's a proven principle. Here we go. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 15. May get in trouble with family services over this one. Proverbs 29, verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Parents, we It is your job as you're being the parent, whether if you're a mom or a dad, it's a shared responsibility. You have the responsibility to bring up your children. And sometimes spankings are in order. Amen. It will get their attention. Amen. Okay, moving on. I just stopped right there for just a moment. It wasn't a long park. The best financial planner is the Word of God. Amen. You want to know how to be successful? You want to know how to guarantee that your life will be blessed? The Word of God tells us. Amen. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12, it said, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee?" You see, he's talking to people that knew about God. They wouldn't steal knowingly from God. They wouldn't, you know, go in and rob things from the church. They wouldn't go in and take money from the offering plate. They didn't, you know, embezzle, or they didn't rob or steal. "Wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes." Pause there for just a moment. It seems like the devourer, just like you got a job and then the rent goes up. The bag has got a hole in it and the money's going somewhere. It says, "I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes." God can give you a better apartment for less money. God can give you a house instead of an apartment. God could let you buy that house instead of renting it. God can do all kinds of things, and he does. "I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." God is going to make it so that the whole world knows that you are blessed. Amen. That's God's plan. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 9. It says, it's a simple, small verse. "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase." It's a short little verse. Now, I've heard all kinds of different things about first fruits. I know that there are those that give a sacrificial offering early in the year as first fruits. I don't see that in Scripture. What I do see in Scripture is that whatever I get, I need to be faithful and give the first part. If I get $1, then 10 cents belongs to Jesus. Amen. If you will be faithful in the small things first, God will bless you. And then to put blessing on top of blessing, tithing and offerings. Malachi chapter 3, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. You've robbed me in tithes and offering. I've had some people confuse tithing and offering as the same thing because they put it in the same basket, that it's equal. No. Tithing is 10%. An offering is that which you give in addition to that amount. Amen. If you want to be blessed, your offerings are how you will be blessed exponentially to a greater extent. Amen. In a wonderful fashion. I don't know, I'm trying to think of words on how this unfolds. But when you're faithful, God blesses you. Luke chapter 6, verse 38, another familiar portion on this topic. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. You want a raise on your job, you want a better job, you want an increase, you want to be blessed, be faithful to God. Show men given to your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. It's a proven kingdom principle. Amen. Next topic. Beauty is in the eyes of the Creator. Amen. Psalm 149, verse 4 says, for the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. The most beautiful people are those who serve the Lord. Amen. When you serve the Lord, He beautifies you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Daniel chapter 1. Let me read there from verse number 11 to 15. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the kings, of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. You know, those Hebrew young men, they were in a hard place. They were in a strange country with strange customs, and they were expected to do strange things. In fact, they were told to eat things that they should not in their consecration. that they should not eat. And they were faithful. They did it about the right way. They asked permission. They got a test going. Give us 10 days and test us. They ate their beans and pulse, if you will. And they were healthier and fairer and better looking than those that ate the king's food. I tell you what, God will help you when you serve him. Amen. Another topic. The church is predestined for victory. To assure your victory, stay in the church. With sadness. In fact, even earlier this week, I was sitting in my yard and talking with some people there, family members. I have other family members that were raised in the same church that I was raised in. Heard the same apostolic Jesus name messages that I heard. They knew the same God. They received the Holy Ghost just like me. They were baptized in Jesus' name just like I was. They had the same experience as I did as a child. And when they didn't stay in the church, life went off the cliff. Something bad goes wrong. You name it. All kinds of bad things happen when you get outside of the protection of God. You want to guarantee victory? Stay in the church. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Peter was telling, he told the answer to his question, thou art the Christ. Who do you think I am? Jesus is talking to him. Who am I? Thou art the Christ. Never give up on Jesus. Never let down with Jesus. Always make sure that you hold on to Jesus. Amen. The gates of hell shall not prevail against Jesus. No matter what the world comes against you with, it will not prevail against Jesus. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 5. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. I got to pause right there again. Some people think it's okay not to go to church. My heart just feels like the air is being let out. How can you think like that? It does matter. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Get this now. But exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. I'll see it. You say to people on Sunday, I'll see you in church on Wednesday. And be happy about it. See you in prayer. Good stuff happens in prayer. Good stuff happens on church night. Amen. It kind of just pulls at my heart. When how do you make them think differently? I don't know that I can make you think any one way or another. I can't make you think anything. Oh, but it's just this. It's such a pull and a draw on me, on you. If you think it's not important to go to church, then that, my friend, is a problem. Amen. Courtship, marriage, and family are postured more for benefit and blessing and endurance when biblically defined. When people get married, when I am the minister that performs a wedding in this church, it's called holy matrimony. I tell that couple that you are intended to live with your spouse for the rest of your life. Forever. You're to keep and to hold each other until you die. It's not until I get tired of you or the bills aren't paid. Do it like the Bible says, and you will be blessed. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 18. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Praise the Lord. I am so thankful that God gave me a wife that loves God. If you're a young person, the young people are in the other room. It's kind of a... well, some very young. It's more important to find or be interested in someone that loves God more than you. That will put God first before you. Than to find someone beautiful or handsome. It's more important to find the one that loves God. Amen. I'm almost done. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Marriage, certainly. I'm saying this even goes to our close friendships. You know, you can have friends that are not in church. I have people that I would call my friend. Work. Yeah, work primarily. A little bit perhaps in the community. A little some from my past. But my close friends. They're in the church. They're in the church. Amen. And finally, this is my wrap up scripture. Genesis chapter 18. Stand with me. Genesis chapter 18, verse number 19. It says, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and that they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him." God promised Abraham a great promise. "I'm going to make your seed like the sand that is by the seashore. Count the stars if you could know them." They're still working on that. They haven't figured it out yet. They don't have any idea how many are out there. Have no clue how far it goes. And that was the kind of promise that God gave Abraham. Because God knew Abraham was going to follow him. And that Abraham would teach his children and his children's children about him. Amen. You know what? I believe that God wants that for us. God wants to have faith in me. God wants to have faith in you. Ben, God wants to have faith in you. That you will choose someone that loves God. And that you will lead them to Jesus Christ. And that offspring, or that future generation, or that future portion of your life will be in Jesus Christ. Amen. As long as I have breath, as long as I have life, as long as I am able, I heard the testimony of the 90-something-year-old man at the dedication service. How that he spoke mightily of the power of God. I want to be that guy. I want to be the 94-year-old man worshiping and praising God and giving my voice unto the Lord. Amen. All of the days of my life. You got to decide. You got to decide. I'm going to serve God today and tomorrow and all of the days that follow after that. I will serve the Lord. Would you love him with me? Lord, I love you, Jesus. I praise you. I adore you. Lord, I magnify your name, oh God. I worship you. I love you, Jesus. I adore you. I praise your name. I worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise Jesus. Praise the Lord. I've not brought a single new thing to you tonight, but everything here is a proven kingdom principle. Amen. I love you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.